Invite you to turn to John chapter 2. We'll read the first 19 verses. John 2, 1 through 19. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. All who are able, we would ask that you would kneel for prayer.
We greet you this evening in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and soon coming Savior. It's a blessing to be with you. It's a privilege. And we continue to ask your prayers in our behalf. We stand before you in the weakness of the flesh, but we trust in the power of an almighty God and the power of his Spirit. And we thank Brother Duane for the reading of the word tonight and for the thoughts that Brother Paul also shared with us. We believe all these things are for his honor and glory and for our learning. I have a little apology to start out with here tonight. I really appreciated Brother Duane's reading, and I didn't realize the scripture that was on the card was not the scripture that I intended to be there. That was no doubt an error on my part when I sent the information to our brothers here to prepare for the revival meeting. However, I am confident that the scripture he read was not in vain. I believe God uses everything to bring honor and glory to him in his word. And the words that he shared, I believe, will be used, maybe even in our message tonight. But we'd like to invite you to turn further in the scripture to John chapter 21. And for some reason, I probably didn't get that sent properly to the brothers. John chapter 21. This was after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, after his death and resurrection. And he comes several different times and appears unto the disciples. And this is one of those times. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself to them. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereupon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this was now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkedest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this unto them, And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if thou will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Well, it's a familiar scripture, and hopefully tonight, by the grace of God and the leading of His Spirit, we can glean some things, maybe some new things, maybe refresher course for most. But this story has intrigued me a number of times through the years, and as I've grown older, it speaks to me maybe a little more loudly than it did when I was younger in the ministry. And you'll probably understand why when we go over some things in this scripture. And we see Peter signaled out here. Now, obviously there were seven disciples that went fishing. Yet Peter seems to be the one that was called out for what they were doing, if I can use that expression. Why Peter? You know, when there were seven of them. And there may be numerous answers for that, but one answer that I believe is that Peter made the suggestion. I go a-fishing. And being somewhat a leader among the disciples in earlier days, even though he was a little bit timid at the judgment hall, the other disciples decided, well, you know, some of us are fishermen, and I think we'll do that too, in my own words. They said, we go with you. So they went fishing. Remember, they were fishermen, Peter and James and John at least, when Christ called them to be disciples. So they knew how to do it. They probably enjoyed it. And apparently still had access to some equipment to take care of it. So Peter, being influential, had influence on the other disciples. We go with thee. So they went forth in his ship. So what's wrong with fishing? I've enjoyed fishing in my life, and I enjoy eating fish. Fish is good. There's nothing wrong with fishing, is there? Maybe they were sitting around saying, you know, what do we do now? Christ's gone. I don't know if they're twiddling their thumbs or just getting bored. They shouldn't have been. And Jesus knew that. But apparently it didn't register in their minds that they already had something to do. In fact, there's nothing wrong with fishing, just like there's nothing wrong with farming or mechanics or whatever else you might have an occupation here tonight, unless it interferes with what the Lord has called you to do. Then it could be a problem for me or for you that we go fishing or something else. And they were commissioned to do something else. We'd like to turn over to Matthew just for a moment. Matthew chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So the experience they had with fishing for fish, which in my days of fishing called for a lot of patience. Some of you maybe are better at it than I have been. That experience with patience at fishing, which they had the night that Jesus found them later on, would serve them well in fishing for men. It also takes some patience. And a lot of other probably skills that fishing for fish would bring. But Jesus didn't stop at calling fishermen. He called others as well. Again, in Mark, as Mark records the gospel in Mark chapter 2, we'll read verse 14. And this illustrates that very point. And as he passed by, this is Jesus, As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tree seat of custom, and saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. This, along with some other examples, which we won't read right now, shows me some things that are very important. And that is, one of the things is they immediately left what they were doing. And James and John did the same thing with their father Zebedee. Immediately they left the ship, the nets, their father, in this case, the receipt of custom, which you would think would be a little bit awkward if you were at the seat of custom, you were working in part for somebody else, not just yourself, and they leave it, and they go with Jesus. Because that's what he commissioned them to do. And that was the case with all the disciples that were fishing here in John chapter 21. They had been called to be fishers of men. He commissioned them to teach and to baptize and to teach some more, all things that he had expounded unto them earlier. Well, the question might come up, well, you know, these were men, they had families, some of them at least. If you can't fish, how are they going to eat? You know, that was their occupation. Of course, Matthew was at the seat of custom, but even people who sat at the seat of custom, if they were happened to be, I don't think Matthew was here with them. I don't know if Matthew went back to the seat of custom or not. But how were they going to eat? It's a good question maybe, but it has better answers. That question only comes from me. It's not in the scripture. The answer comes from the scriptures. Had they forgotten the 5,000? And the 12 baskets left over? Had they forgotten the 4,000? Had they forgotten the 70 that were sent forth, that were commissioned to go two by two, and not to take food or purse or anything? Had they forgotten? We are forgetful people too. God is not hindered in supplying the need for the commissioning. He's never shorthanded. He's never been hindered in supplying. And you and I have probably read missionary stories of those who went forth and they went without anything and they prayed fervently, and God provided everything they needed. Maybe at the last moment, but he provided. So had they forgotten this? I don't know. But now, in John 21, they say, we go fishing, and they caught nothing all night. Was that a coincidence? No. I don't think it was a coincidence at all. And Jesus said, cast your net on the right side. Now, that doesn't mean they were on the wrong side. He's just telling them, cast it over here instead of over there. Because he had an illustration for them, an object lesson, that I believe they would never forget. I'm convinced of it. So they cast their net where Jesus told them to cast their net, and you know the story. They caught 153 great fish. And it's interesting to me that it's 153. It's an exact number for some reason that's listed here. And the net didn't break. There were a number of miracles, no doubt, just in that little story. In verse 9, it says when they came to land, there was already fish and bread to eat. Jesus didn't need the 153 fish to feed them. He is their provider. He was their provider. He is our provider. And I encourage us tonight to be revived in that. That fact that we do not need to doubt how we're going to go when he tells us to go. We do not have to doubt that he will provide when he gives us something to do. Can he provide or can he? And I think Peter was probably a bit embarrassed. I would be. So Jesus says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter says, yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. Verse 15. He saith unto him, feed my fish? No. I've fed a lot of fish, fishing. He says, feed my lambs. That was his commission. Not to wind up in a boat fishing for fish, even though that was no doubt very skillful in his life. I've been challenged with the word these, and I know it's just a little word, and it can, you know, there are a lot of that word in the Bible, and we're not just focusing on that for the word itself, but what this word represents. I believe it represents the fish in this story. Some people think it's something else, maybe the disciples or whatever. But I believe, for the facts that are presented here in this chapter, that it represents the fish that Peter was drawn to instead of the men and women and children to whom he was sent and commissioned to feed in the church of Jesus Christ. Do these hinder my calling? I don't mean fish. These in this chapter represents to me anything in my life that stands between me and what God commissions me to do. I believe it's the same for your life. I believe it's the same for those who have not accepted Christ yet. I want us to think about that tonight. In Luke chapter 14, we're going to read a few verses. The gospel as Luke recorded it. Chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. We'll stop reading there. I think it's sufficient. That last one is the one that really puzzled me. You know, the first couple, as being a farmer, if you purchase a piece of ground, you want to go see it. That's pretty logical. Second one, bought some cattle. Yeah, probably like to check the oxen out, see if they can pull it. The third one baffles my mind. Every wife likes to eat out, and you're not going to take her out to eat? You know, the other person's paying the tab. But it represents the distractions that can come in our life. And there's a little ditty song that I learned when I was growing up as a child, and probably all of you have learned it. I don't like it, but I'm gonna just read it for you. I cannot come. I cannot come to the banquet. I'm busy just now. I've married a wife. I've bought me some cows. I've got lands and possessions that cost a pretty sum. Please have me excused. I cannot come. I don't like that. because it even though it's factual, it's a song that puts a song in the heart of a child that's really negative. I can't come. And we know what it represents. So I rewrote it. I don't have any idea who wrote the first one. I didn't ask any permission. But this is my version. Yes, we can come to the banquet. We're coming right now. I've rented out our land. I've sold all our cows. Our lands and possessions are no longer fun. I'm bringing my wife. Yes, here we come. Anyway, you may not like that better, but I do. My wife likes it better, too. Well, not everybody was like Peter and James and John and the others. And I'd like to invite you to Hebrews chapter 11. It's known as the faith chapter. I think it also could be referred to as the obedience chapter. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin reading at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, that means when he came to the years of accountability or the knowledge that he was responsible for his actions, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I just love those verses. For one thing, what did Moses know about Christ? It says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He knew about Christ. In fact, he was a type of the Messiah. But listen to these verses. What does these, how is the representation of these portrayed in this? Pleasures of Egypt, pleasures of sin, riches, the treasures of Egypt were great at that day, much more than today, in comparison to the other nations of the world. It was a very wealthy place. He esteemed these a lot less than suffering with the people of God. These was represented by the wrath of the king. He did not fear the wrath of the king as much as the wrath of God. The day may come when any one of these, if they haven't already, interfere with our allegiance to our Lord or our decision to follow him, as Peter was at first not willing. So he first forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath. That was not going to hinder him. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, Peter, James, and John, and the others had the once out of history opportunity to walk with our Lord and Savior. They saw him. And it seems to me that would make such a great impression. The miracles, the life, the death on the cross, the empty tomb. It would seem that it would make such a tremendous impression that his commission would outweigh anything, any of these that could interfere. But they were human. They were flesh and blood. They were forgetful like I am. And they were tempted like I am and you are. And they allowed these to interfere. And my prayer is tonight that we won't do that. But Moses loved Christ more than these. Do I? Philippians chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 4. This is the writings of Paul, and this particular passage of scripture I'm going to read is concerning, you might say, the resume that Paul might have if he was applying for a job somewhere. This is what Paul says concerning his background. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's pretty good. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for who? For Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What a testimony. No wonder he could go on mission journeys and be shipwrecked and still praise the Lord and have confidence that we won't die as long as you're obedient. And they float to shore and they light a fire and a serpent comes out and bites Paul. And all the natives look, he's going to die because he's a devil. Or he did something evil. And he doesn't die. Because God commissioned him to go. And none of these kept him back. He could have had a pretty good life of ease with the background that was portrayed here in Philippians chapter 3. He didn't even marry a wife to take out to dinner. He said, some men can do that, and I could. But he felt it wasn't his calling. And I respect him for that. But I don't put wives into these categories. To me, a wife can be a tremendous help, and she is. But I believe there are times that we do allow these to interfere. I trust that we'll be revived. We want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We begin reading at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? I know we believe that. It's just sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to take it at face value. And there was another that was that way. I thought I had the scripture written down where it was. But it was the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus seeking eternal life. He wanted to know the greatest commandment. Jesus told him what the greatest commandment was. And the second like unto it, you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The rich man, young ruler, said, well, I've done all these from my youth. What do I lack yet? Jesus commended him for that, but then he said this. If you want to follow me or enter the kingdom, go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. And what did the rich young man do in response? He went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great riches. These kept him away from the very thing he was desiring. And by the way, Jesus knew that he hadn't kept all the commandments. In fact, if he really had kept the first commandment, to love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, he would have followed Jesus. And he knows our hearts as well. Tonight, as we bring this to a close, I would challenge us as Christians, not that we have to drop everything and go be missionaries. Don't get me wrong. If God calls you to that, yes. If you feel the call to go in the field of mission work, I think you need to drop all these and go. But to us who are Christians, whatever your life calling from God is, don't allow these, whatever it represents in your life, to interfere with that call. If you're here tonight and you haven't accepted Christ, Jesus knows your heart, but I want you to know your heart. What is it? What of these is it that is separating you from Christ? Is it treasures in America? Is it fish? Whatever it is that it represents, don't allow it to hinder your walk with our Lord. As we have an invitation hymn extended tonight, if you desire to accept Jesus and to walk with him, to follow him, he may not be calling you with the same words as he called Peter and James and John and Matthew and Andrew. He may not say, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. But he may say to you in your heart, come, follow me, I will make you a child of God. That is the most important decision you ever make. As we sing a song, Stand where you are, raise your hand, or come forward if you want to accept Jesus as Lord of your life. What shall we sing?
Number 10.
Number 10 in the green book.